I'm Andy Willoughby. Go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-424-8752. 800-424-8752. 800-424-8752.
Three captured American hikers held in Iran are being accused of planning to meddle in Iran's political unrest. An Iranian official claimed the hikers, who were captured a week ago, quote, had plans to interfere in Iran's internal affairs. Protesters have been active in Iran since a disputed presidential election in June. Calls grow for increased control of the New York City airspace, where nine people died Saturday in a collision between a small plane and a helicopter.
Congressman Gerald Nadler says below 1,100 feet, the airspace over the Hudson River is out of control.
The Hudson River flight corridor must not continue to be the Wild West.
Nadler's district includes the heliport where the helicopter in Saturday's collision took off. He renewed a call for the Federal Aviation Administration to manage traffic in the area.
You have to limit it to the amount you can control or ban it altogether.
Pilots flying at that altitude don't have to file flight plans and need to look out for one another. Nadler says they clearly need help from the FAA and collision avoidance technology. Warren Levinson, New York.
For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
Ever think about retirement? Certainly, we all do. But there's that uncertainty of what to invest in and the fear of all the ups and downs of the stock market. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a simple and easy way to save for retirement and protect your 401ks and IRAs? Well, there is. It's the Precious Metals IRA. There's never been an easier or safer way to protect your hard-earned savings. Call today to get your information packet on the Precious Metals IRA. Call 800-325-0919.
Lawmakers battled on the Sunday talk shows over whether demonstrations against health care reform legislation at town hall meetings across the country are real or contrived. Here's correspondent Mark Thomas.
Speaking on Fox News Sunday, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky said it's not clear who's organized and who's not, but that Democrats' efforts to demonize the protesters reflect weak spots in the substance of their plan. Democrats say there are plenty of Americans who want to ask honest questions, but continue to...
Radio talks to my folks. It jokes and makes them smile. And because they smile, they walk or drive that extra mile or tell a friend to go and spend. Time at my store, time at my site, time at my sale. It's no tall tale. The ads I run on radio move my business. To find out how to get radio working for you, go to radioheardhere.com/ads.
Brought to you by the radio industry and this station. To remind you that radio is heard here. Radio is heard everywhere.
Hi, I'm Joe Mangiacati, host of Out with Joe, Sundays at 3 o'clock right here on AM 1060 WBIX. And I want to tell you about a very famous restaurant, one you probably already know about, Ken's Steakhouse. That's right, Ken's Steakhouse on Route 9 on the Framingham Natick Line has for generations provided, well, the best in quality food and service. Hey, Ken and Florence Hanna began that tradition over 60 years ago, and I want you to try Ken's out so much, I'm going to buy your dessert. That's right. When you stop by Ken's for lunch or dinner, dessert is on me. Just say, Joe's buying dessert, and you choose from their huge selection of fresh, baked, homemade desserts. That's right. With Ken's Bakery right on the premises, you're sure to have the best dessert you can, and it's always better when someone else is buying. So check it out. Stop by Ken's, Route 9 Framingham, and let Joe Mangiacati from Out With Joe and WBIX take care of the dessert for you. Hey, Ken's, a very famous restaurant.
Are you getting the right coverage? The Cantiani Insurance Agency of Worcester can service all of your insurance needs while saving you money. Why use the internet or national 800 numbers? Call Cantiani Insurance today, and we'll give you quotes from nationally known insurance carriers. At Cantiani Insurance, you'll get personalized service and expert advice. Qualified drivers can save hundreds on their auto insurance. Save up to 20% when you combine your homeowners and auto insurance. Choose your insurance with ease at Cantiani Insurance.
You're on the money. The daily talk show making the most out of your finances. On the Money features advice from local experts on building wealth, saving and investing, and homes and loans. And now, your host for On the Money.
Good evening, I'm Gary Pomerantz, and I'm here with my colleague, Eden Traub, and you're listening to On the Money, our weekly radio show airing from 6 to 7 each Monday, addressing timely topics of concern to those interested in growing and protecting their wealth.
And I'm Hayden Traub. I'm a chartered financial analyst and have an MBA and have been a practicing investment manager for the past 22 years. I'm also the principal of my own firm, Traub Capital Management, based here in Needham. And for more information about the firm, you can go to our website at traubcapital.com.
And this is Gary Pomerantz. I've been a certified financial planner and investment advisor for over 14 years. I'm the managing director of Lexington Wealth Management, based in Lexington, Mass. For more information about our firm, please visit our website at www.lexingtonwealth.com. Before we begin, our lawyers would like us to let you know that the opinions expressed during our show tonight are our own and not the opinions of our respective firms, and that any information presented during the show is general in nature and not specific to your own investment portfolio.
And as we do each week, we start off talking about what's happened in the past week, what's coming up, and general market discussion. So first of all, I just thought I would note the market was calm today for a change. I think we've settled into the dog days of summer. The market was down 0.33%, so not a big move. It actually went down for a change. I think I don't know if this finished that way, but right near the end of the day, I heard that this was the worst day of the month, even though it's only been a couple weeks. So it's pretty amazing that we really have had a great run of returns. And a lot of that has been to the less worse story, let's call it, and the green shoots continuing. And we had some of that last week. In terms of the ISM index, Institute of Supply Management, that's what that stands for. That came in at 48.9, which is better than expected. Still a little bit below 50, which means still in a contracting economy, but keeps getting better. So I think everybody is expecting that to flip above 50 soon. We also saw personal spending go up 0.4%, and that was driven mostly by higher prices.
By inflation, great.
So I'm not sure there's a lot of excitement about that. Each of these things that we typically talk about, there's like it's generally a good news piece of information, but there's usually some caveat that kind of reduces the enthusiasm behind it. We had non-farm payrolls came in better than expected. Job losses were 247,000. And who would believe, you know, other than in the last 6 months, you'd be all excited. Hey, we only lost 247,000 jobs. But it was a little better than expected. And again, the market responded favorably to that. And related to that, the unemployment rate actually went down, not to 9.4%. So it ticked down. In other words, improved. But
yeah, like, again, like people not showing up for even the unemployment line doesn't really mean things are getting better.
Right. People, the caveat there is that the unemployment rate is a percentage of people looking for work or employed. And the reason that the rate went down is that a lot of people left the workforce because they were, we assume because they were discouraged
from
looking for a job. So. Mm-hmm. Once again, you know, it's nice that the unemployment rate went down, but it's not really based on a good reason. So that in itself wasn't, you shouldn't get all excited, even though the headlines in some of the papers were like, oh, yeah, the unemployment rate went down. If you look behind the numbers, that number in particular really wasn't, anything to get excited about. And another factor that's been probably weighing down on the economy as much as anything is consumer credit dropped last month by $10 billion. It's the fastest pace on record. And, it's really a function of two things. People, first of all, are trying to pay off their debt and kind of repair their balance sheet, as they say. In addition, banks want to lend less money. So between the two things, you're seeing a big contraction in consumer credit. And it's certainly weighing down on the economy.
I wonder if that has to do also with people negotiating with the credit card companies to get rid of balances, people who are not
writing off bad debt. Yeah, there's probably some of that, I would think. That's good news for the borrowers. I don't know about the banks, but if they can get away with that. And another piece of news that actually was encouraging. First of all, average hourly earnings rose. That was due, many people believe, to an increase in the minimum wage, and that probably makes some sense. But the other part of that is that the average hours worked actually increased. And
that makes sense. Fewer
workers. That's good news, actually. Mm-hmm. That's the first time that's happened in quite a while. So for the people that are still working, for the first time, they're getting put to a little bit more use. And that's really, that's got to happen before you start seeing people actually hired, right? They got to start kind of pushing the existing employees a little bit further. And at some point, they're going to say, hey, we got to hire some people. And
people are finally starting to realize that you're not just handed money, I guess, right? It took took this big shock to get everybody back on the right track, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And so anyway, that's kind of the news for the past week. And for this coming week, there's quite a few pieces of news or information coming out. Q2 productivity is going to be released. The estimate is actually for a very big increase. And that is good news as well. That it's always good to produce more with fewer people. And the trade balance is coming out Wednesday, and that's going to be negative. Well, the forecasts are for negative $28 billion, a little bit worse in terms of imbalance. And we're also going to see retail sales, which have gone are expected to go up a bit. And CPI is coming out as well.
That's inflation.
Yeah, consumer price index. The next item, capacity utilization, is at extremely low levels, right near their all-time lows. Right. And again, some people may take that as a bad sign, but it isn't necessarily a bad sign in my view, because what it means is that if the economy does start to improve, companies can really get a lot of leverage out of that, because they have all this spare capacity, and it won't cost them a lot to produce kind of the next widget or whatever you want to call it that they're producing.
So an example of capacity utilization would be factories that right. aren't at full capacity right now,
right.
for instance.
Right. So there's idle time or and that's – I mean, it's bad, because it means the factories are not being well utilized, and that's part of why we had this big contraction and earnings collapsed. But – it does mean that you can ramp up earnings pretty quickly if things turn. We're also going to see industrial production coming out, and that's likely to be also an increase. The expectation is for an increase this month, first in 9 months. And the Michigan Sentiment Survey is coming out on Friday, and that's still pretty low, although, again, it's expected to be better than last month.
Right, so. Isn't the unemployment rate in Michigan somewhere around 14% or something like that?
Yeah. Number. Well, I assume they're not just surveying people in Michigan. I don't know. If it was, I don't think it would be as well thought after. So anyway, the Michigan Sentiment Survey will be coming out. And then initial jobless claims will be out also this week. And those are expected to be about the same as last month, somewhere a little over 500,000. And again, you know, not a particularly good number, but we're kind of getting used to these numbers. And so that's most of the news this week. But there's one other item which, amazingly, is getting like no press, it seems to me, which is that there's the Fed meeting this week. And it takes place Tuesday and Wednesday. And I assume that the reason it's getting so little press is, what are they going
to
do?
To do nothing.
Right.
Right, absolutely.
Nobody expects them to raise rates, and they can't go down. So, but there's still going to be some news there, because they're going to, you know, have some commentary, and people will be interested to hear what they have to say about that. But I doubt there's going to be many surprises. And again, that's probably why you're not hearing a lot of people talking about it. There is going to be some earnings news this week, although the vast majority are behind us now for this past quarter. But it's basically retail week this week. Macy's, Kohl's, Walmart, Nordstrom, JCPenney, to name some of the bigger ones. And, you know, those numbers, again, are not likely to be good, but the key is, how are they going to compare to expectations? Certainly going to be down significantly from a year ago. And so brings us back to the usual discussion about valuations and where we are. And we're now up to a PE of about 17 on the S&P 500. And as we talked about last week, that's a bit on the high side. And so... for me, that's a bit of a worry. It's not like I think we're going to get a collapse, but I do, you know, unlike a lot of people, when the market goes up and other people actually get more enthused and more inclined to want to buy the market, and people need to be careful. You know, generally, if the market's going up, if earnings aren't going up at least as fast, that makes the market more expensive.
Right. The hope is that earnings actually surprise again.
Right.
Right. And then in which case the market may not truly be overvalued. And the question is, can analysts get that right in this twilight zone that we're in?
Right.
With some indicators telling us things are getting better and others, you know, perhaps pointing to things kind of staying the same or getting worse.
Yeah. So anyway, the valuations outside the U.S. are talk about any of these items or what our theme today is, which is life insurance. You can call 888-205-2263, and we're going to be bringing on a guest in a minute.
And that's a good segue, actually, into the focus of tonight's show. It was Benjamin Franklin who first uttered the words, "In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes." So tonight, we're going to take both of those topics head on as we address the topic of life insurance, an issue many of us try to avoid until a health issue appears, and then it's too late or expensive to buy it. So we'll talk more about life insurance when we come back from this break.
Management's founder, Hayden Traub, is a chartered financial analyst with 22 years of global investing experience. Traub Capital Management is focused on determining the needs for each client and then maximizing returns relative to risk. For a complimentary review of your portfolio, call 781-453-3929 or visit our website at traubcapital.com.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'd be great if my progress weren't constantly stifled by this outdated play school appliance.
If you're having computer troubles, you should do what my friend did. He had an IT professional take a look at his.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's just made of money.
You don't need to be made of money, dude. Arrow IT installed all the latest virus and spyware protection at a price that fit his budget. They even reconfigured his whole setup.
Yeah, see, but I use my computer for more than just web surfing. It's not a toy. I do all my business from it, and I really can't afford to be without it.
Arrow IT can help your business, too. They design logos, websites. They even designed my buddy a new home office.
Well, that's fantastic, but running a business takes more than just a flashy logo. You also need to get your name out there so you can attract potential customers.
Did I mention that Arrow IT also helped my buddy get his website in all the top search engines?
Oh, really? How do I reach these people?
Arrow IT Solutions is your one-stop shop for custom technology solutions for your home or business. For more information or to set up an appointment, call 413-219-4088 or visit us on the web at aroitsolutions.com.
Gary Pomerantz, Managing Director of Lexington Wealth Management, is a certified financial planner and investment manager. He has been successfully leading clients through wealth transitions such as retirement, inheritance, or sale of business for over 14 years. If these turbulent times have left you in need of a comprehensive review of your financial strategy and condition, please contact Mr. Pomerantz to set up a complimentary consultation at 800-626-1566. That's 800-626-1566.
Go aboard a Captain John Whale Watch in Plymouth Harbor and cruise in comfort to Stalewagen Bank. Experience the magic of Cape Cod Bay from two observation decks. Or sit in the climate-controlled main cabin and enjoy your favorite foods and beverage from the galley, including cocktails. In no time, you'll be in the feeding grounds of nature's most awesome creatures, humpbacks, finbacks, and mink whales. An experienced naturalist will help you understand the whales and their behavior. New England's most experienced fleet has a 99% sighting since 1977. So make sure your whale watch adventure is with Captain John Boats. Call 1-800-242-2469 for reservations. That's 1-800-242-2469 for the perfect whale watching adventure, sightings guaranteed.
Hello, you're listening to On the Money. This is Hayden Traub, president and owner of Traub Capital Management, based here in Needham. For more information about the firm, you can go to our website at traubcapital.com.
And I'm Gary Pomerantz, the managing director of Lexington Wealth Management. For more information about our firm, please visit our website at www.lexingtonwealth.com. Tonight, the focus of our discussion is life insurance, and we have an expert joining us today. His name is Michael DePhillips. He's the president of MTD Associates based in Hawthorne, New Jersey. Mike is a licensed insurance broker with over 20 years of experience in creating integrated insurance solutions with specific expertise in wealth preservation strategies. So he's used to working with high net worth individuals. And so first, how about just a quick primer on insurance? Michael, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
I was thinking, first we're going to do a quick primer on insurance, and we just talk about the different types of life insurance out there. I think usually when someone starts to consider buying life insurance, I think it's a fairly simple proposition. They just go out and they buy some insurance, then they find a broker or an agent, and boy, that's a decision in and of itself. They're not sure which one it is usually. They just find some person they know. And so why don't you talk first about the difference between a broker and an agent, and then we'll talk about the different life insurance products that a person like that could offer. And you, yourself, Michael, you are a broker.
I am a broker. Started out as an agent. Was an agent for probably 2 or 3 years when I first got in the business, and then at that point realized that you can't hitch your wagon to one company because not one company can service all of my clients' needs. And decided that a broker, I could represent a multitude of carriers and look for the best product that would meet that client's need. So that's the difference between a broker and an agent. If you're an agent of a company, generally speaking, you have a contract with them that requires that you present that client to that company first. Now, if that company cannot give a positive underwriting, they usually give you some options to go elsewhere. But as a broker, I work the exact opposite. I work from the standpoint of who's going to give you the best underwriting class, i.e. the lowest mortality charges, which will provide the greatest amount of life insurance for the least amount of outlay.
Michael, what's your fiduciary responsibility? Is it different if you're a broker or an agent?
No, there's no difference there. But your responsibility, I believe, as an agent is to search out that company that's going to provide, again, the best rate classification, because that drives the mortality, which, when you manufacture a life insurance policy, that's the single biggest expense that you have to deal with.
Right, mortality being how long it is that the company expects that you will live.
Correct. If you were a preferred rate class, for example, you know, your premium could be X. And then if you qualified with standard with another company, that premium could be X plus 25%. So you're paying a 25% upcharge because you did not get the correct rate classification.
Mm-hmm. And premium meaning the healthiest individual, and standard meaning someone who might be less than healthy. It's just they use euphemisms at the life insurance companies so that they don't offend anyone, how healthy you are or not healthy you are, right?
That's absolutely correct. Right. There's within any one insurance company, there may be as many as 12 to 13 possible rate classifications. There's one even above preferred. It's called Elite or Preferred Plus. I have a habit of not talking about that because less than 5% of the population qualify for it. But if you were to go onto one of these websites and plug yourself in, a lot of people will plug in Preferred Plus hoping they qualify for that rate. But the actual circumstances are that 95% of the general population will not.
So you decide on agent or broker, mm-hmm. or you've met someone that you trust, and then you end up hiring that person. And then you are faced with having to make a decision about the kind of insurance that might be right for you. So let's say you're a young person and you wanted to insure the fact that your kids could go on to college in the event that you died. What kind of insurance would be best for a person like that?
Straight out, just a term life policy. And a term life policy has different durations. There's annually renewable term where it gets a little bit more expensive each year. Or you can get a 10-year level, 15-year level, or 20-year level term policy.
And level means just that the price stays the same for that period, for whatever period you're talking about, correct?
That's correct. So it's a fixed premium. So let's say that you have children that are currently 10 and 12 years old. There's no reason to go out to a 20-year term because college education would have been funded at that point. You'd like to mirror it and go to, say, a 15-year, in case of graduate school, a 15-year term. Or if you have other funds that are building up, you may be able to do it with a 10-year term, knowing that the rest of your financial plan has come to be and you no longer need the insurance.
Mm-hmm. Now, what happens if you get sick and you have term insurance and you educate your kids, the insurance lapses, and now you're trying to think about what happens in retirement? I die young and I don't have enough money to protect my family. You would be out of luck.
Possibly. If you've chosen, and this, you have to be careful, when you're buying a term policy, you want to buy it with a good quality company. If you were to become ill, let's say you developed a disease that you knew that was going to shorten your mortality or make you less insurable in the future, most policies have a conversion feature. which means that you can convert it to a permanent form of insurance, or a whole life, or a variable life, or a universal life, that could go on longer without asking any medical questions. However, if that illness came on, you're correct, after that term period expired, yet you're going to be paying a large premium for your insurance.
So you need to make sure that you have a convertibility clause within that term insurance policy that you might purchase.
That's correct.
And in that answer, you mentioned whole life, universal life. Gary, I don't know if you want to maybe explain that or if you want to have our guest explain it.
Right, whole life insurance, right, if I'm correct, it has a level premium and a cash value that builds up over time.
Correct. If I broke it down into the categories, there's whole life. Well, you have term insurance, which is just pure death benefit. Mm-hmm. And generally, for most young people and most young clients that I meet, that's the first thing that I want to do. I want to make sure they have the correct amount of insurance.
Michael, I'm sorry. I need to let you know that we have about a minute and a half to talk. Then we'll go to the break and we'll come back.
Certainly. Let me just focus in on that. You have term insurance, whole life, which is going to be a permanent type policy. It's going to build cash values and have a death benefit that can go on generally to age 100, or the policy will endow at some point. Universal life, which again can be a form of permanent insurance, but it needs to have some built-in programs such as no lapse guarantees in order to make sure it goes to a certain period of time. And then variable life, which is very similar to a whole life. The difference is the insured is going to choose investment choices in sub-accounts underneath that whole life umbrella or permanent life insurance umbrella.
And aren't the premiums flexible as well?
They can be, depending on the product design. In the whole life, they're not flexible. In the universal life, no lapse guarantee, they are not flexible. In the regular universal life and the variable life markets, they are flexible, but you have to monitor them because you could have mortality charges eating into that non-premium paying time frame that could erode the policy and have it lapse prematurely.
Mm-hmm. And then in regard to health as well, most people have some kind of group insurance. If you work for almost anyone, any larger employer, you'll probably have insurance through work, and that's called group life insurance. Usually it's term insurance, right?
Correct. It's a term life policy, and generally speaking, the rates are very inexpensive, and they're laddered in ages. They'll go from 20 to 25, 26 to 30. Historically, if somebody's very healthy, once you broach that age of 45 to 55, if you're healthy, you probably can buy it cheaper on the outside individually than you do get it through your employer.
Great. Okay, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought for a moment. For any listeners out there who would like to call in and ask questions about their own insurance policies or situations, the phone number is 888-205-2263. You're listening to On the Money with Hayden Traub and Gary Pomerantz. The topic of tonight's discussion is life insurance and all of the various policies that are available, when to choose which policy, and also helping us to understand how that might be used for estate planning purposes and for other purposes over a lifetime. So you're listening to On the Money with Hayden Traub and Gary Pomerantz, and the topic tonight is life insurance.
And when we come back, we'll kind of clarify maybe who would be best suited for these different types of insurance. So again, if you want to call in, it's 888-205-2263.
Capital Management is an investment advisor offering investment management and planning for individuals, families, and small businesses. Traub Capital Management's founder, Hayden Traub, is a chartered financial analyst with 22 years of global investing experience. Traub Capital Management is focused on determining the needs for each client and then maximizing returns relative to risk. For a complimentary review of your portfolio, call 781-453-3929 or visit our website at traubcapital.com.
You too can be successful at real estate investing.
The Eastern Massachusetts Real Estate Investors Association provides a networking and educational venue for both new and seasoned investors alike. Eastern Mass REIA meets the second Thursday of each month at 6:30 p.m. at the Rockland Holiday Inn. We sponsor educational events, seminars, and mentoring for investors of all levels. We are the number one source in the greater Boston area to get deals done. We are open to the public. Join us for our next meeting. Visit EasternMassREIA.com.
Take the Plymouth Ferry to Provincetown. Cruise in comfort and enjoy your trip across Cape Cod Bay without the hassles of a lengthy ride in Cape traffic. En route, enjoy a narrated tour of historic Plymouth Harbor. Before you know it, you're in Provincetown. Spend the day poking around unique shops and galleries. Enjoy a relaxing lunch in one of P-Town's famous restaurants. Experience Cape Cod's National Seashore. Captain John Boat's large, comfortable vessels feature an enclosed galley with your favorite foods and beverages, including cocktails, and a helpful, friendly crew. So travel to P-Town in style with Captain John Boat's. Reservations call 508-747-2400. That's 508-747-2400. 10 a.m. departures daily from Mayflower to State Pier in Plymouth. Returns at 6 p.m. Take the express route to P-Town. Call 508-747-2400.
Gary Pomerantz, Managing Director of Lexington Wealth Management, is a certified financial planner and investment manager. He has been successfully leading clients through wealth transitions such as retirement, inheritance, or sale of business for over 14 years. If these turbulent times have left you in need of a comprehensive review of your financial strategy and condition, please contact Mr. Pomerantz to set up a complimentary consultation at 800-626-1566. That's 800-626-1566.
You want pain relief that's fast? You want pain relief that's strong? Then you want Advil Liquid Gels. They're faster and stronger on tough pain than Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. Advil Liquid Gels. They rush real liquid relief right to wherever you hurt, so you can forget about your pain and get back to your day. Advil Liquid Gels. Liquid fast. Advil strong.
Brands are trademarks of their respective owners. Use as directed.
Hello, you're listening to On the Money. This is Hayden Traub, I'm president and owner of Traub Capital Management, based here in Needham. For more information on the firm, you can go to our website, traubcapital.com.
I'm Gary Pomerantz, a managing director of Lexington Wealth Management. And for more information about our firm, please visit our website at www.lexingtonwealth.com. If you're just tuning in, before we were talking about life insurance, and that's what we're going to continue to talk about for the rest of today. When we first set out to purchase an insurance policy, it all seemed so simple. I just want to go out and buy some insurance to take care of my spouse and my kids when I die. But then once we look into the purchase, everything becomes a little more confusing. First, we wonder whether we should work with a broker or an agent. Second, what type of life insurance should I purchase? There are many different types of life insurance. Before the break, I was speaking with Michael DePhillips, our guest today. He is the president of MTD Associates, based in Hawthorne, New Jersey. He's a licensed insurance broker with over 20 years of experience, and he's here to help us to ferret out the differences between the different insurance policies and help listeners to understand which policies might be right for them and their circumstance. Mike, if you were a person, say, you'd already educated your children, we talked about term life insurance, which you might want just to last a 10 or 15 or 20-year term and then go away because you have a funding need that lasted for that period of time. When would whole life insurance be applicable? Whole life insurance is a slow-growing insurance with a cash value that builds over time at a very small interest rate. It would seem to me that would have to be someone first who is fairly risk-averse. And then could you explain when else, what other types of situations would apply themselves to a whole life insurance purchase?
Certainly. I believe insurance is a portfolio product, just as if you were building a portfolio for a client, you wouldn't put all your investments into one particular asset class or individual investment. So insurance, there's different forms. And, one thing that I can tell you is that regardless of who you are, when you're young, you need a lot of insurance. So term insurance makes the most sense. And then as you build wealth and build assets, the need for the insurance becomes less because the risk has changed. So a more permanent nature is somebody that may have a longer-term plan, such as an estate plan, where they want to pass more money on to the next generation and leverage up what they're passing on. It's not just about the cash values. It's about building wealth and using that leverage that you can create and know that it'll be there regardless of when anything happens. So permanent insurance should be a percentage of everybody's portfolio, because if you're very, very, very lucky to do well and you create a lot of wealth, it's a great asset to transfer out of your estate, either gifting it to your children or gifting it to a trust for the benefit of your children, so that they have some estate liquidity and some protection in the future.
Michael, this is Hayden. When you say it should be part of everybody's portfolio, and you're talking about estates, I assume there's some kind of minimum net worth or investable assets that somebody would get to. Obviously, not everybody has whole life. Is there some level where people, you think should start looking into whole life or some kind of estate planning insurance?
Yes, I believe that you need to look at it, because I think one of the things that's a misconception today from an estate plan, because everybody knows that currently we have a $3.5 million, or maybe they don't know, you have a $3.5 million exemption from federal estate taxes. However, there's still state estate taxes, depending on the state in which you reside. I believe Mass has it. New Jersey certainly has decoupled from that, where my office is located. New York has decoupled from that. So to the extent that your assets exceed $675,000, there's going to be an estate tax levied against you. And I think once the federal law is finally set in place prior to the sunset of what, they've got three different versions in the House right now that they're reviewing.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to mention that the sunset provision that you're talking about. In 2010, in effect, the federal estate tax goes away. 2011, it comes back, but with a floor of, is it $1 million?
$1 million.
Right. And the sunset provision that that Michael is referring to is that the provision in 2011, when the as if the sun had set and then came up the next day at $1,000, and Congress is currently trying to figure out what the new estate tax is going to be. They have one bill out there that says it might be $3.5 million per person, and another one that says it's $5 million per person. And there's a third, and I'm not sure what that number is, but they're all out there right now. And the question is, what will they ultimately decide on?
Correct. And Hayden, to go back to your question, it may not be whole life insurance. If your need for insurance, especially if your need is for it to set up a trust, an irrevocable life insurance trust, which excludes it from your estate, life insurance proceeds are tax-free. But if you have an incidence of ownership in the policy, it can actually compound your estate tax situation. So let me just take a step back. The common tool there is to meet with your attorney, review your estate plan, and if recommended and suggested, they will tell you to transfer your policy, either an existing or purchase a new, in an ILIT, which is just an acronym for Irrevocable Life Insurance Trust, which, again, excludes any incidence of ownership and takes it out of your estate. That type of policy, best suited for that, because you're making gifts, I believe to be the no lapse guarantee universal life policy. Essentially, I like to call it term to age 100, where the goal is to maintain that death benefit but not build cash value, because the goal there is just to get the leverage out of the life insurance contract.
And essentially, right now you can gift it's a little more than $12,000 per person. And the issue would be if you're paying the insurance premium and that were somewhere around $12,000, you're effectively making that gift to the child and in the form of an insurance policy. So you're leveraging off of your $12,000 by
$12,000 per year, just to clarify.
Right. That's right. And actually, it has increased to
$13,000
at this point. And one of the other, and it's not always about just estate taxes for an irrevocable life insurance trust. Another reason a lot of my clients have turned to it is, let's say they're 55, 60 years old, they'd rather put that policy into a trust because their children are now at that age of 25 to 30, getting ready to get married. So in order to exclude those assets, they want to leave to their child, and they want to leave it in trust to, in case there's any marital discord. And I think because the divorce rates are so large in this country and so high, that gives another comfort level to a lot of my clients where they're looking at it because they just want to protect their children. Not that they don't like their in-laws, but they just want to be careful.
Mm-hmm. And so getting back to the original question, which was, why would you choose whole life insurance instead of a variable type of insurance, a variable insurance where you could grow the portfolio within the insurance policy, you know, along with, for instance, the stock market index or bond market index.
Well,
and whereas a whole life policy would grow at the cash value rate, whatever that the credited rate in, is from the insurance company, which is a very low rate. Isn't that correct?
Correct. One of the things, most, I don't look to whole life or variable life policies until a couple of things have occurred for my clients. One, they're funding the maximum pre-tax contributions either into their retirement accounts or all those things have been filled up. All those buckets are done. Mm-hmm. Because you do pay for life insurance premium with post-tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some great advantages because it does grow tax-deferred, and you can have the internal cash value inside of a policy grow and possibly take it out later on. But you have to be very careful because a lot of that is just illustration. And one of the reasons that I've never used variable life insurance in my practice, and I'm probably looking like a genius now 20 years later, but when everybody told me I should be selling that product, and I asked what happens when we have a negative 20% return, nobody could show me. It has a big impact on the policies. So I think that if you're buying it and understand the risks that go with it and understand that the illustrations are just roadmaps that may or may not come about, that's great. But I really think that people are better off if they need something permanent to stick with that whole life, which is, yes, going to have a low crediting rate, but at least it's going to be there and do what you think you want it to do in the future.
So going back sort of to the question I asked earlier, for someone who is below the estate tax limitation, whatever that is, even if it's if you're thinking about it by state,
mm-hmm.
You would generally steer them towards term life or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. I generally, you know, I'd start them out with term life, and then we would look at a budgeting as part of an overall plan as to what they can afford and then match the product that best fits that need. The universal no-lapse guarantee products, I think, are the product that can achieve that because it's a lower outlay to have a permanent death benefit. So,
okay. And also, if you can't afford the premium on a universal policy, you can pay a smaller premium and reduce the amount of insurance that you have, right? So it can fit your budget.
That's correct.
Whereas in a whole life policy, you wouldn't be able to do that. The premium can't change. Is that correct?
That's correct. And you know the advantage of a whole life policy, however, though, is as the dividends build up in the policy, you can use the dividends to reduce the premium outlay. So as you get close to retirement, if the dividend grows large enough, and again, it's a hypothetical solution, but if it does work and you do it at a very controlled interest rate, you may get to a point in the future where you no longer pay premiums because the internal dividend is paying for the policy.
Okay, thanks, Michael. We're going to take a break. If you'd like to call, it's 888-205-2263. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Traub Capital Management is an investment advisor offering investment management and planning for individuals, families, and small businesses. Traub Capital Management's founder, Hayden Traub, is a chartered financial analyst with 22 years of global investing experience. Traub Capital Management is focused on determining the needs for each client and then maximizing returns relative to risk. For a complimentary review of your portfolio, call 781-453-3929 or visit our website at traubcapital.com.
Hello?
Hey, Dave, it's George. How are you doing? I'm calling to ask you a question.
Hey, Margie and I are doing great. We're living at North Hill now and loving it. What's the question?
Sarah and I have been waiting to move to North Hill for some time, but we haven't been able to sell our house. I see your house is still on the market, and yet you've made the move. How did you do that?
Easy. North Hill has something called the Dream Bridge Loan. It provides up to 12 months of interest-free bridge financing. It's a terrific offer. You should call on it.
Interesting. Sarah would be pleased if I told her we can move to North Hill before the house is sold. Thanks for the information.
One other thing, George. North Hill also has a new monthly service fee incentive. Depending on when you come in, you can have your service fee waived 30, 60, and even 90 days. Check that offer out as well.
Thanks, Dave. I'm glad I called you.
To learn more about North Hill's Dream Bridge Loan and Service Fee Incentive Program, call 781-433-6524. 781-433-6524.
Traub Capital Management is an investment advisor offering investment management and planning for individuals, families, and small businesses. Traub Capital Management's founder, Hayden Traub, is a chartered financial analyst with 22 years of global investing experience. Traub Capital Management is focused on determining the needs for each client and then maximizing returns relative to risk. For a complimentary review of your portfolio, call 781-453-3929 or visit our website at traubcapital.com.
Gary Pomerantz, Managing Director of Lexington Wealth Management, is a certified financial planner and investment manager. He has been successfully leading clients through wealth transitions such as retirement, inheritance, or sale of business for over 14 years. If these turbulent times have left you in need of a comprehensive review of your financial strategy and condition, please contact Mr. Pomerantz to set up a complimentary consultation at 800-626-1566. That's 800-626-1566.
Welcome to Progressive Theater, sponsored by Progressive Auto Insurance.
Luke, once I'm on that plane, I'll never see you again.
I'm not good at goodbyes, doll, but here's this. Go to progressive.com for auto insurance. They offer free things like 24/7 live support, concierge claim service, and could save you hundreds.
Hundreds?
Way more than a hill of beans, kid.
Oh, Luke!
You could save hundreds. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield, Ohio. Concierge claim center is not available in all states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hello again. You're listening to On the Money. This is Hayden Traub. President and owner of my own firm, Traub Capital Management, based here in Needham. For information on the firm, you can go to traubcapital.com.
And I'm Gary Pomerantz, the Managing Director of Lexington Wealth Management. For more information about our firm, please visit our website at www.lexingtonwealth.com. Also there, you would be able to find the economic outlook, some of the information that we provide to you at the beginning of each show. And we're here today talking about life insurance. Our guest is Michael DePhillips. He's the president of MTD Associates based in Hawthorne, New Jersey. Mike's a licensed insurance broker with 20 years of experience. And one question that really, I think, needs to be addressed, given the financial duress that we're under these days, is the solvency of the companies that are offering life insurance. What do consumers have to be on the lookout for now as far as the viability of the life insurance company or the creditworthiness of the insurance company that they will be purchasing insurance from? Mike, you want to speak to that?
Certainly. There's several different options. I subscribe to a company called Alert, A-L-I-R-T, and what they do is they look at the companies from several different levels. They look at their investment risk as one example. Then they turn after the investment risk, and they'll look at their operational risk, their overall financial risk, and then their credit rating analysis, which they'll look at Moody's and Standard & Poor's and AM Best, and they come up with an overall rating. I use that because it's an independent company who is looking at overall companies and saying, compared to the industry, this is your total alert score. And you use that to monitor companies. It's important. The good news that people should be aware of in the insurance industry is it's a very highly regulated industry. Each state has their own insurance commissioner, and they go under the same rules federally called the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, and they use that to gauge the financial stability of companies. And they have rules, and you know the companies just can't go out willy-nilly and invest how they want and say they have reserves that aren't there. They're, again, highly regulated. So I think if you look at a combination of third-party independent people, you can't just look at one service. You have to look at a group of them. And then compare that, and then look at the individual states and the state insurance commissioner. You're in Massachusetts, a very strong state insurance commission. The same with New York and New Jersey. They're probably three of the strongest in all of the country. They do the due diligence to make sure that these companies are solvent and have the reserves that are required in order to be a licensed carrier in that state.
So for a lot of people, you know, AIG is in the press all the time. You know, if you came across somebody who had a policy with them, you know, what advice would you give to them? You know, let's say it was life insurance, right, since we're talking about that.
And Lincoln National right now is having
a bunch of ideas. I would tell you that AIG is a holding company, And AIG, the holding company, has its issues, and obviously they've been all throughout the press. The underlying companies cannot be touched by the holding company. So AIG, for example, owns American General Life. They cannot attach on to the assets of American General Life, and that was written into the insurance commissioners, National Association of Insurance Commissioners, made that clear when they allowed holding companies to operate insurance companies, so that they can't just reach down and do that. A great example was United States Life is also owned by AIG, and at one point when AIG was having its problems, wanted to switch out some assets between United States Life and AIG, and the state insurance commissioner said, no way, you're not taking your assets, which could be tainted, and switching out with the good assets that we know that you have in U.S. Life.
Right. So, yeah, I think a lot of people don't really understand that distinction, so that's important. So given what you said, then would you – it's hard to give an answer in a vacuum, but would you say for most people, if they have a policy that, you know, is kind of on a renewal type of policy, that they should continue with AIG if it's something that's, like, locked in for a period of time?
Yes, I think that financially they're going to be fine. I mean, one of the problems in the insurance industry right now, for example, American General is a very it's almost a crown jewel of the AIG insurance companies. But it's very difficult because of the credit markets being where they are for anybody to come in and buy them. When another carrier buys another carrier, all of the reserves and letters of credit and reinsurance contracts, all these things cease to exist now and have to start over again. So nobody's actually out in the buying mode right now because the credit markets have been so tied up. I think once that frees up, you'll see one of the top major carriers make a strong bid to buy American General. So I think they're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Another question is in regard to portfolios. Many individuals are holding variable annuities in their portfolios these days. Mm-hmm. As a financial planner and investment manager, sometimes I cringe when I see these things, such as variable annuities inside of an IRA. I can't understand why anyone would do that, except for maybe the reason that in a variable annuity, there is a high watermark that is protected within the annuity. Which means that if the market falls, you're protected. Some policies would have to have this policy provision within it. Could guaranteed at the higher rate. Is that correct,
yes.
Michael?
Yes.
And so for some individuals, they actually turned out to be pretty good things if they were purchased 3 years ago, for instance, at the height of the markets, and the markets fell, and they were investing, for instance, in the S&P 500. And now they're 30% below where they were, but if they died, the insurance policy would pay out at the higher level. Right?
That is correct. But there's no free lunch either, Gary. Let's not forget, if they're giving you something, they're not benevolent organizations. They're charging you for it somewhere.
Right, right.
That brings up a good question I had, which is there's a perception by a lot of people as it relates to insurance that, you know, it's not a good idea to kind of save and invest through insurance policies, you know, wrappers, whatever you want to call them. So maybe you could comment on that and say, like, when it might be a good situation to do that and when it might not.
Right. I just want to interject one point. I know Medicaid planning is one place where you could buy an annuity, mm-hmm. and the annuity actually helps you to perhaps get some of the money back if the government doesn't need all the money when you're in a nursing home. And Michael, go ahead.
No, absolutely. And even in those traditional whole life policies, if somebody wants to fund, and again, once every other form of tax deductible item has been filed, IRAs and 401ks when you're working and profit sharing plans and the like, you know, it's not a bad place to put excess money to grow tax deferred. You can take the money back out of the policy and conceivably never pay the income tax that might be due, the amount in excess of what you paid into the policy, by doing a series of policy loans.
Right. When you say it's not a bad idea to put it in which type of policy you're referring to?
I tend to think the traditional whole life policies is the better way to go.
Okay.
I think that when you know that you have a guaranteed amount that has to get credit, be it 3 or 4%, you know, that's a safe way to go. The problem with most life policies is they show you a guaranteed column, which is 3 or 4% depending on the product, and then they illustrate based on their current dividend assumption. So So if somebody looked at a policy, for example, 8 years ago, they were getting maybe a 7.5 to 8% dividend, and everything was being forecasted that way. So that speaks to the issue of you need to look at it. You just can't put it in a drawer and say, okay, I have my life insurance, and I'm going to meet those values. The only way you can do that is if you look on the guaranteed side. So I think it's very important that you monitor it just like you monitor any other type of investment. It's not static. You need to look at it.
And one other question. We only have a minute or so left. I just want listeners to know that there's an option. If an insurance policy is going to lapse and you don't want the insurance policy anymore, that insurance policies can now actually be sold, and you can earn money from investors who would actually hold that policy in a black box somewhere and get paid at the end of the policy, and they could pay you for that policy. So you want to speak to that very quickly. We have about 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Senior settlements, and they came from the viatical settlement market. It is now, it used to be the wild, wild west. It is getting more regulated. It's falling under the insurance commissioners. It allows you to say, I have no more need for this policy. I don't want it. And let's say it had a cash value of $100,000, but a death benefit of $1 million. You may be able to sell it in the secondary market for $250,000 rather than just get back the $100,000 that you get when you cash it out.
Right.
So it's an opportunity for somebody else to take over that policy with anonymity. They don't know who you are, so you don't have to worry about anybody coming after you, and you collecting more proceeds than you would if you just canceled the policy and got your $100,000.
And also, if you were terminally ill, you might be able to get at the cash value that way. There's no other way for you to get at that money, and then you could go on your world trip or whatever you needed to do, right? So
correct.
So you've been listening to Gary Pomerantz of Hayden Traub. This is On the Money. And we thank you very much for listening. Michael, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you for having me.
For the latest financial headlines or to contact the host,